Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know.
No.
I'll talk to D Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
The Locked On Bulls podcast.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Matt, welcome back. I hope I didn't depress you too much with all the decision talk yesterday, and hopefully all of our listeners out there aren't. Their blood pressure isn't boiling still from yesterday's episode, but how are you, and what's going on?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, I'm ready to move on, man. I don't know about you. It was fun to revisit the decision for a day, but let's try and live in the present and maybe be excited about the future.
And he said, I'm rolling with Keith.
I promise you that stayed around for a long time, though.
You got to keep that soundbite.
Always have to. So we won't be talking about Keith Bogans today. And man, I don't know when the next time we'll talk about Keith Bogans. Well,
and I know I just said I'm ready to move on, but I just had a thought. Maybe we should hit up our old pal Nick and see if he wants to come back on the pod for the first time in a long time and talk about the decision.
True. See if he wants to reminisce a little bit. Definitely. Definitely have to see if he wants to. But more current NBA news going on right now. The push towards training camp now is happening quicker and quicker, Matt. We're gonna have games in less than a month. We were talking off mic about the schedule being released and being excited about all the games that are gonna happen. And there's talk about a Delete 8 reboot of some sort, whether it be a training camp, whether it be some type of tournament, anything like that. But it seems like there is a wide spectrum of thoughts and opinions on how to get these 8 teams to be able to do something before they start next season, which could be, could be December at the very earliest. So what do you think about this, and how likely do you think this is to happen?
Yeah, well, and first and foremost, let's clarify. As of right now, the plan is for the NBA to resume in about a month's time.
True.
Meanwhile, we still keep getting positive tests. The Denver Nuggets announced yesterday that they're shutting down their training facility for a while after some players tested positive and some staff as well. Monday, we got word that both Spencer Dinwiddie and DeAndre Jordan of the Brooklyn Nets have tested positive. DeAndre Jordan has said that he's not going to go. Then I think Dinwiddie, we still haven't gotten an official announcement yet on a decision of whether or not he's going to go. So, we're still just winging it and hoping that a month from now we actually have a reality where this schedule is being played out that the league released last weekend. As far as the Delete 8 teams, though, I think we talked about this maybe a week or so ago when there was a little bit of rumor about maybe these teams being involved in something different. We did hear from that Athletic column late last week by Sam Amick that there was discussion about it on, one of the calls with the league, with Silver, with Michelle Roberts, the head of the Players Association, and as well as Chris Paul and Iguodala and some of those other people about, what can we do? If these Delete 8 teams are feeling left out and they are at a competitive disadvantage in some ways, as far as player development, chemistry, culture development, not to mention the fact that these Delete 8 teams aren't even allowed to send scouts into the bubble. to talk about potentially who might we be looking to add in the offseason, or, you know, what's a player that we might be looking to trade for in the near future. That definitely puts them at a disadvantage, and I certainly can sympathize with them feeling like this isn't fair. However, the thing to me that's difficult is what Michelle Roberts talked about, which is making sure that every single protocol and plan that was put into place to get this Orlando plan off the ground, which hopefully it will, they will have to do the exact same amount of work to ensure that anything similar to this for the Delete 8 teams is as safe as possible, just like this bubble in the Orlando that they're working on. It can't be some, you know, a haberdash thrown together, you know, scatterbrained idea to say, well, you know, we feel bad that these teams are left out, so let's do something for them too, and then not take every single precaution and planning that's required to make it as safe as possible. That, to me, is the one hangup that makes this very, very unlikely to happen.
So I can understand from the fact that all these teams want to get back and want to start training, and they realize they're going to be at some sort of disadvantage going into next season. Even to the playoff teams who hang around, they may be tired, but I mean, they're in shape. They're ready to go. They've already dealt with this, where some of these other eight teams haven't dealt with any of this and maybe are behind the ball. And it sucks too, because it adds another layer, Matt. Not only are you talking about the bottom eight teams in the league, but you're also putting them at a disadvantage for next season, right? And that's not to anybody's fault. It's just the way that things have played out. But I think that they're going to have to do something, because it's going to be unfair, and there's going to be players who just don't have the access or don't have the facilities and aren't able to put together a plan to be able to train more effectively than maybe some others are. I mean, Zach LaVine has a full quality, I would say, semi-professional training facility at his own house in Washington. So he's good to go. But what about some of these dudes that don't have that access? I mean, we were laughing at when Joakim Noah was trying to set up his own personal gym in his apartment complex, and that got shut down. So there are guys in situations like this. So I wonder how they're going to be able to play this out. What if I floated the idea to you about Chicago? What if Chicago doesn't get the NHL hub, but they decide to do it here in this city? I mean, there's more than enough facilities to house eight different teams and eight hotels to house those teams and quarantine them and keep them isolated. And the numbers have been pretty decent here in Chicago. I know I'm being a little bit on the optimist side, but I mean, Chicago could be playing a factor in this too if they decide to quarantine all of these teams in one city.
You're right, and the Chicago and the state of Illinois is doing a lot better than these southern states right now, where we're seeing these huge spikes. And Chicago would certainly be, based on numbers, a better, safer option than, say, the two cities that were mentioned in this athletic column when they were talking about doing something for the Delete 8 teams: Las Vegas and Houston. And in the past week, Houston's numbers have been some of the worst, and Harris County's have been some of the worst in the country. They're at like 97% capacity in their ICU rooms right now, or their ICU beds. Vegas, like, they reopened the casinos, and that entire Sun Belt at, you know, Nevada, Arizona, all those states down there are a disaster zone right now. So Chicago certainly seems like a better idea than those two cities, who were among the cities mentioned by league officials in that call late last week. I still just don't see the need for it. I understand that players like Zach LaVine and others who want to not just be on the shelf for 9 months, that sucks. I get it. Some kind of competitive basketball. Yes. To me, is it entirely necessary? If we're asking if all of the hoops that they're trying to jump through to make the actual top 22 bubble happen to get some kind of resolution to the season, is this really necessary? Because most of all, what it is, it's a money grab. It's a desperate money grab by a league that lost a bunch of fucking money this year. That's what it is. If it were all about safety, they wouldn't do this. So if that's true for actually having the playoffs happen, it's damn sure true for having a weird, meaningless little bout of competition between the eight worst teams in the league. I don't care if it's in Chicago or fucking Uzbekistan.
But not even just to hold a tournament. I'm thinking more just maybe it's worst case scenario where you just have to quarantine all eight teams in one city and allow them to train. Because, I mean, every team All of these teams that are in the bottom eight are all in different states. They're all in different regions of the country. So every state has different laws right now and has different phases that they're in. And some states are spiking higher than others. So maybe not so much a tournament or having to make money off of this, but just from the mere base factor of allowing these guys to come in and train and practice together and be together for this time that they are off, this offseason and training camp that they're not really going to get when they come back. It's going to be a very, very brief one. If everything goes correct, everything, and it's not, the NBA season starts, what, at the end of December for the new year, and you have a training camp maybe that starts in November. That's the rough timeline that we're getting right now. I mean, you can't let guys just sit around and do nothing. And guys are doing stuff on their own, but at some point, you got to get these guys back together. And I'm not talking about maybe playing a tournament. That would be best case scenario. And I think that's a long shot, like you were saying. But I want to talk a little bit more about like the training camp stuff and ultimately what the options could be for some of these teams that are left at home sitting here. Like, what are we supposed to do to December? Before I do that, I want to tell you guys about our sponsor in Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon is brand new to the Locked On Podcast Network, been with us for a couple of weeks, and they are honestly have been another cure, just like Built Bar has, for somebody who's dieting. But there's a few things that I can't get away from. One is chocolate. The other is having a bowl of cereal. I'm not a big breakfast person, but I will tell you, I am caught more frequently than not eating a bowl of cereal late at night, just needing that fix. And it's something that I've done since I was a little kid. So growing up with cereal is one of the best parts as a kid. Like I'm telling you, I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. And it would make me feel like crap, I'll be honest with you. All the sugar, all the carbs in cereal can weigh you down. I've been trying to cut down on all of that carb, sugar, unhealthy foods, and realized I basically can't eat anything anymore. Magic Spoon is here to take that worry away. They have zero sugar, 12 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. It's cereal that won't make you feel guilty about eating it, but still has great flavors. They have 4 amazing flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. It tastes amazing, and honestly, it's too good to be true. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. What you can do right now is go to magicspoon.com/NBA to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use promo code NBA at checkout to get free shipping. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product that you'll like their taste. It's backed by with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Magicspoon.com/NBA. That's magicspoon.com/NBA. Use the code NBA for free shipping. We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring the podcast. Check it out today. 4 amazing flavors, magicspoon.com/NBA. Use the promo code NBA at checkout.
Speaking of magic, Jordan, today's Locked On Bulls episode is also brought to us by Blinkist. I want to tell you about my secret weapon for learning new things and getting ahead. It's so cool. It really does feel like magic. It's hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more when you don't have that free time. You can't read and work on your personal development. There's an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. It takes the best key takeaways, the need to know info, from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. That's right, with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you're working out. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library. From self-help, business, health to history books, Blinkist has the latest titles from the bestseller lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles that, let's be honest, you always meant to read, but you never quite got around to doing. I like to start my day with a little dose of Blinkist while I'm having my cup of coffee, maybe having a little bit of breakfast, maybe having some Magic Spoon. Before I dive into the world of sports, before I dive into whatever ugly headline news there is today in this crazy time that we're living through, I like to just start my day with a little bit of Blinkist, a little bit of self-improvement to clear my mind and just get a little bit of self-betterment. And right now with Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to this massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. For a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our Locked On Bulls audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it free for 7 days and get 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial and save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
I'm not going to dispute you on that. You're right.
Back to the NBA and their plan to restart. So, Matt, I'm convinced that at some point we're not going to get a start, fully play, and finish the finals without at least stopping one or two times throughout this for whatever it may be, 2 or 3 weeks, so they can quarantine a bunch of guys. I guarantee you the NBA is already talking about plans. Should guys like LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, whoever you want to talk about, if those guys go down and they test positive for COVID-19 and they're in the middle of a series or just about to start a series, you mean to tell me they're going to play through that? There is absolutely no way. They would get absolutely killed. They would get killed. It would murder their ratings. And maybe it wouldn't. Maybe because the NBA would be the first of these sports to come back. I don't think the MLB is going to beat them. But maybe they won't, and maybe they'll be able to put the product out there no matter what. But I can't see them telling LeBron, hey, LeBron, you tested positive for COVID-19. You got to sit out for 2 weeks. By the way, we're going to play 4 of the 7 games in the series that are going to lead you to the finals. How about that? I just don't think it's going to happen.
No, it won't. It makes no sense. And like that, again, that's why this whole idea of the Delete 8 doing something like and you know, just getting together and doing some workouts is one thing, like you were saying. And if the Bulls are just doing that with some players on their roster, and yeah, like let's run some 5-on-5 scrimmages and at the Advocate Center in Chicago, that's one thing. But for the sake of televising these games, which is another detail that they mentioned as far as like, well, yeah, let's get these Elite Eight teams together in some other bubble and put those games on TV. Because again, they're trying to make some of their lost money back. Even though these teams are bottom feeding teams, these teams still have star caliber players on them. And why would those players and why would the league want to risk any injury for completely meaningless basketball? And I'm talking not just about Zach LaVine, but Trae Young in Atlanta. I'm, you know, talking about Karl Anthony Towns in Minnesota. You know, the young stars and the established stars, the Golden State Warriors, you think they have any interest in playing meaningless Delete 8 teams? If they're having troubles with positive tests in the Orlando bubble, and God forbid one of those superstar players in that bubble tests positive, to me, it's like, why would you try to orchestrate all of these other hoops to establish this for meaningless basketball and risk, yes, they are bottom-feeding teams, but there are still stars in a star-driven league on those rosters, and why would you risk them?
It's a good point. All right, let's put for a minute the idea of them televising anything or coming up with any tournament. Let's just talk about the fact that at some extent, at some point, they're going to have to bring these teams and allow these teams to go and train together. They're going to have to bring them all together, whether it's quarantining them all together for 2 weeks, isolating them completely before they're actually allowed to practice, do any of this. That's got to happen at some point. And I don't care maybe if it takes till August or September, but they're going to have a plan in place. And maybe it is a good idea to go to one city and allow each team to use a facility in a state that is doing a really good job. And it doesn't just have to be Chicago, although I think Chicago has the infrastructure to do that, man. You've got the Sears Center. You've got 3 colleges in UIC, DePaul, and Loyola that you could use all three of their basketball courts and facilities to train. That's 4 places right there. The United Center for the Bulls, the Advocate Center, that's 6 right there. I mean, you got 6 of facilities, 8 teams, and then you need 2 others. You can use WinTrust as 1 and split that. I mean, there's multiple places for these guys, for each team to have their own separate facility that I think would be qualified to be up to snuff enough for them to be able to train and at least not feel like they're at a complete disadvantage from these other 22 teams who are allowed to restart, are going to have the facilities to train, be together, and all of that. And maybe this doesn't happen till September. Maybe it doesn't happen till August. But I think the NBA is going to have to have some type of rule in place to not put these bottom 8 teams even further behind all the rest of the league.
Yeah, and I get that. I get that they don't want to be at that disadvantage. That's the one part of doing something functioning around these Delete 8 teams that makes sense to me, because they do have a legitimate gripe about that significant disadvantage that would come from this huge long layoff of unactivity or inactivity, I should say. But here's the other thing to me. When you're talking about getting these teams together to do some of this stuff, not only getting these teams together, but getting the rosters themselves together. And the fact that as the teams that are heading to the Orlando bubble have started doing these tests before going and having all these positive results from players on their roster, getting players back to their markets, because that's a thing that's been happening for the Orlando-bound teams recently over the last couple of weeks that hasn't necessarily happened for these Elite Eight teams. And right now, you know who I'm thinking about in particular? I'm thinking about Lauri Markkanen on our very own Chicago Bulls, who, according to his Instagram account yesterday, is like hanging out with his girlfriend and his baby in Finland. Home sweet home. The EU's got their shit under control. Meanwhile, the United States is like 40,000 new cases a day and counting. And yes, it's not that bad, Chicago, but still, there's talk about, you know, European countries not letting people from America come over there because it's so bad in America right now. If you're Lauri Markkanen, why on earth would you say, you know what I want to do right now? I want to head back to Chicago, go to the Advocate Center, do some scrimmaging with my guys. It might even get to a point where he can't legally, like I'm sure he would be allowed to come here. It's banning in the other direction right now, you know, for our dipshit president who was so obsessed with his ban, you know, separate topic, but people in the U.S. aren't allowed to travel that direction right now. And like countries are starting to impose all these travel restrictions and travel bans against us because we're doing such a bad job with this pandemic. So if Lowry knows that and says, if I go back to Chicago to do some kind of Delete Eight activity, then not knowing when and if I can go back home to Finland to see my wife and child. Well, I mean, we've seen NBA players backing out because of decisions that are based on family. Willie Cauley-Stein just recently opted out to play for the Dallas in the bubble because his girlfriend's expecting. If I'm Lauri Markkanen, I'm staying as far away from the United States right now as I can.
Yeah, I think until you're actually, like, until things start up and you know that there's going to be a season. And, I mean, we're still talking a few months from down the road, and we don't know what's going to happen. Things seem to change every single day. But I am with you that there will be, if they do decide to do this training camp, it'll be a voluntary thing. It'll be if guys are in places where they want to opt out, they'll have the ability to do it. But having an option for guys who may not have the ability to train or may not have the facilities that want to have that open and available and also safe. And that's another thing is the NBA can do this in a way where they're watching over it. They feel safe. The organizations feel safe. And there's protocol and processes put into place to be able to do this. Because, Matt, I mean, I'm with you. If it was the reality was safety first, there wouldn't be a season right now. We wouldn't have one till a vaccine was out. And that's just not the case. So now talking about other realities about how do you not make sure that guys don't lose tens of millions of dollars in future earnings because they haven't been able to train in 10 months, to avoid injuries from that happening, to not put teams and organizations at a complete disadvantage, to blow your entire league up. I mean, these are all things that the NBA is thinking about and Adam Silver is thinking about constantly. And whether we like it or not, they're going to try this. They're going to go ahead of this because they can't. They have too much money on the line. And ultimately, that's what sports is. It's a business first. And we are seeing that more than ever over the last 4 months. More than ever at every sport. So I'm with you. I'm with you 100% on the safety thing. But now we have to find out options to not make things significantly worse outside the pandemic. Because whether we like it or not, the NBA is going to go ahead with it. Whether they have to stop five or six times. So I think yeah. that there
and,
is...
And you're right about ahead. Them making it voluntary. I just wonder if it's voluntary and a bunch of players, especially international players, say, you know what, I'm good, then what are you really gaining? If you're trying to say, well, we don't want to be at this competitive disadvantage, we got to get our guys in the gym together. If the Bulls getting their guys in the gym together does not include Lauri Markkanen, what's the front office learning as far as evaluation and player development?
Well, what are they really running? I'm thinking about like more so like summer training camps that they've had, you know, like guys like who was it a couple summers ago that stayed around here in Chicago? Nico Mirotic and Bobby Portis and a few other guys, a handful of guys that stayed here and were able to practice consistently together. So things like that, to have that available, it would, I think, give the Bulls an opportunity to get a head start on looking at some of their guys, especially with the brand new front office. But I think you're right. Like, guys like Thomas Satoransky, who said from the get-go that he didn't want to go back and restart a season. And I don't know if he's in the Czech Republic now or not with his family, but that was a big concern. Is he's like, I want to go see my family. I want to go have be safe with them until we know for sure we're coming back for a full season. So I would not be surprised.
Based on some interviews I've seen around Twitter that sound like they are from his native country's media sources, I believe that Sato is also now back overseas.
Before we get to some of your questions, we wrap up this conversation about the Delete Eight, a potential like training spots and what could possibly happen. And things, again, seem to be changing every single day. So there will be more news on this. But I want to tell you guys about our sponsor in Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is the best place for all your car's parts and needs. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Chain stores have different prices in tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest price possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkable, and easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they can know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Matt, before we get to some of the questions that we have, do you have anything else on this? And I guess the update from the NBA as far as their bubble goes is, if you had to put a guess on it now, thinking of the way, think about the amount of tests that are coming back positive and guys that are going to have to quarantine, how many times do you think the NBA is going to have to stop throughout this process generously before they actually conclude the season?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it's one that's on the minds of NBA fans and just people trying to make this happen and running the league right now. Like, my guess right now is that at some point there will be a number of positive tests that Adam Silver and his colleagues deem to be a dangerously high number, and they will stop and they won't finish. Because, as we've said, this is a money grab from a league that lost a bunch of money, and that's the only reason they're trying to do this. But if at a certain point it gets out of hand and they can't go to a certain extent where, PR-wise, they won't be able to walk back how irresponsible they're being, they'll shut it down, and they'll shut it down for good. That's what I think, because yes, it'll suck for them fiscally, but you can't also put your next season in jeopardy. You know, hopefully we'll get a vaccine at some time in 2021, you know, knock on wood. But when you're talking about already messing up the calendar, the NBA calendar for next season, and having this new adjusted schedule where we're going to have a truncated, very short off season, and then starting in sometime in mid-December, if you shut down because of too many positive tests and then wait a while, your already very tight schedule gets even tighter. And I don't know how they could possibly navigate that.
I think Mark Schanowski was 100% right last week when we had him on, and he said that the NBA season next season is going to be abbreviated as well. I think he's 1,000% right, and I think that they're going to play off of that. They're going to finish, Matt. I believe truly that they're going to finish this season, whether it takes them to the NBA Finals having to go till November or December before they decide that there's an abbreviated off season and we're ready to go for next season. Who says the NBA has to be done by December? I mean, at this point, nobody has. So if they have to stop, say, and I think the first stoppage is going to come with the first star player that tests positive. Stop for 2 weeks, pick it right back up after 2 weeks when everybody is okay. You test everybody again, make guys isolate, and they're going to do it again. And that's just the way it's going to be until they get a conclusion on these finals, because, again, I don't think that they can afford to lose the money. We all think they can, and it would just have significant impacts on the season from a business standpoint that I don't think that they're willing to lose, at least at this point. So, I mean, if it comes down to it and, say, worst-case scenario, the finals don't end till the back end of November, maybe you're looking at next season being a 45-52 game season, or even a 40-game season, with playoffs maybe being expanded. So I think there's ideas in place too. But the idea is, I think fully, that they're going to push ahead and they're going to try to finish the season, even if it takes them 3 months to do that.
I mean, it wouldn't stun me if that were the case. I'm still just trying to think about what they would be risking to do that, and whether or not they would deem it to be ultimately worth it. The NBA makes so much money, man. And yes, they lost a whole boatload of money this season because of this pandemic. But assuming that, and maybe it's a dangerous assumption, our country can actually finally get its shit together and get this pandemic under control, and maybe we'll need to rely on, you know, people in other countries who believe in science more than we do apparently right now to make that happen. Hopefully that happens. And the NBA is such a moneymaker, it will be able to recover from this. So what are you risking and why? If you get to the bubble and then all of a sudden the bubble is popped and popped and popped and popped and popped and popped, and a bunch of players who are in the bubble are testing positive, and you shut down for a while, wait a week, wait 2 weeks, and then try and bring it back again. At what point are you just spinning in a wheel for no freaking reason? I get your counterpoint of they're so determined to make this happen and that they'll adjust next season and they'll shorten next season if they have to make this happen. I am still just trying to look at it logically to say Adam Silver, to me, is not a dummy. He actually seems like a pretty bright dude. As far as how commissioners in this country have handled this stuff so far, he seems to be the one who is the most competent. I can't imagine him risking his players, risking his so far pretty positive PR as the commissioner of this league, by doing something that irresponsible and opening back up if they have so many positive tests that they have to shut the experiment down.
I think you're right in the fact that Adam Silver is going to do whatever it takes and still be the voice of the players. But I think ultimately we heard it, man. A lot of players, no matter what, have a lot to lose. It's not just the top players who already have money in the bank and are good with being able to sit out or just escape a season. Even guys in the mid tiers of making money, career earnings over 30 million, 40 million. Guys are opting out, deciding, you know what, I'll wait. Even guys that are going into contract years are saying, you know what, I'm good. I'm going to stay healthy. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait this out. That's going to happen. But I think Adam Silver is going to do what he's always done, is listen to the players first and say, if you guys still want to play, the majority of you do want to play, or if we have to take 4 months to figure out how we finish this playoffs, he's going to do that. I don't think that there's any barrier right now saying the NBA needs to the finals need to end at a certain date. This is where it needs to stop. I don't think that's in play right now. I think that they're just trying to say, no matter how long this takes, we're going to put you guys down in this bubble. We're going to probably start and stop, even if it takes 4 or 5 months. I still think they're going to do that and figure everything else out later. There's just too much to lose. And I care about the safety of the players and everything first, but you think about not just the players, not just the organizations and the owners and the league itself, but everything else that goes around it, the people that work in the industry. You and I work in the industry. Just everything, sponsors, everything that is revolved around one thing. And it's true for anything in life, is it's all about money. It's all about money. And it sucks to say that, but I guess we'll see, right? We'll see if they can successfully get through training camp. That's the first step.
We'll find out. Yeah, we'll find out. And, you know, and obviously they've said in hindsight, maybe if we knew this delayed crazy spike in Florida was going to happen, we wouldn't have picked Orlando. And oops, we got so far ahead or so far along in our plans that we couldn't really, you know, backtrack on that. So now they are forced with continuing with the plan because they were getting short on time. And now continuing with the plan where before people arrive in the bubble, we have positive tests going on. And to me, it is only a matter of time with how bad Florida looks right now until that bubble is punctured. It's going to happen because, you know, we haven't been able to take a giant chainsaw and saw the state of Florida off into the sea yet, which get some scientists working on that immediately.
Can't do the whole Bugs Bunny trick. Definitely can't do that. Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks again for listening. I know we didn't get to your mailbag questions. We will be sure to get to those on Thursday's episode. And so this gives you a little bit more time. If you want to weigh in on anything that we talked about here or in the episode we talked about the decision, you want to drop a voicemail or a text message, we'll be sure to play that on Thursday's episode. Hit us up at 331-979-1369. Save that number in your phone as Locked On Bulls. You can give us a call or a text whenever you're listening to the show. That's 331-979-1369. Hit us up on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Melly, and at Bulls underscore Peck on Twitter. We're on Instagram at Locked On Bulls and on Facebook as well at Locked On Bulls. So find us there if you want to send us questions or you can email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. So shoot us emails, shoot us questions, your thoughts, anything you got for us. But for Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
And he said, I'm rolling with Keith.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com. Hey.